Untangled by Emily N. Rose. Read by Rhea 314. Fandom Shoujo Kakume Utena. Pairing Anthe Utena. Rating teen and up audiences. No archive warnings apply. 1. Anthe searches the world for Utena Tenjo. Utena is not in Tokyo, Kyoto, or Osaka. She is not in Beijing or Sydney. She is not in Delhi, Mumbai, Jerusalem, Baghdad. She is not in London, Paris, Rome, Madrid, New York, Toronto, Rio, or Cape Town. Anthe divides the world into cities and goes city by city. She works through them searching for Utena, the way she and her brother once walked the world searching for people who needed help, starting at the center, spiraling outwards into the countryside, and then on to the next one. She sees many people who need help. She sees the lonely, the hurt, the helpless, the poor. If she were a prince, she would stop for them. Anthe is not a prince. She does not see Utena. It takes her a year to cover the world, which is bigger than she remembers it being, and seems to have more people in it. Anthe doesn't sightsee and doesn't enjoy herself. She doesn't like crowds. Luckily, she's alone and doesn't have to waste time smiling and pretending to be normal. The birds and beetles bring her news. The cats and serpents hiss suggestions in her ears. Anthe enjoys the luxury of her isolation, and animals, as usual, are sympathetic. It's no good. If Utena is alive anywhere in the world, she is hidden behind a curtain of magic. It doesn't make any difference that her brother would have cast the spell using Anthe's own power. She can't even find it, let alone find a way to break it. It's perfectly possible that Utena is dead. Most people would be, after what happened. Utena was only really a normal girl. Maybe there's no spell at all. Anthe has that thought after a year of searching, and it makes her grit her teeth and hate herself. No prince would ever have that thought. A prince wouldn't give up. Utena wouldn't give up. She goes back to the first city and starts again. She goes more slowly this time. It takes 2 years. Utena is not anywhere. She never will be. Anthe gives up. She goes back to Japan and makes herself a house in the country with a long drive and high hedges and a huge garden that will catch the sun. She tweaks the house until it looks nothing like anywhere else she's ever lived, coaxes the garden into a riot of life and color, trains honeysuckle and wisteria over her bedroom window, and admits to herself that she's bored. She picks a university at random and does a degree in botanical science. It's a long way from the herb lore she learned lifetimes ago. She enjoys it. She's good at it. She does another degree. She's asked to stay on and teach. The salary is generous. Anthe says no and goes back to her house. The garden is still a riot of life and color. Choo-choo hops off her shoulder to investigate a large bee, which is buzzing its way softly through the lavender. Anthe goes into the house and takes off her smart jacket and her hat. She makes herself a pot of tea. She pours out one cup. She sits down to drink. It's been 10 years. Anthe's faint reflection in the dark window. She must cut back the creepers. They're blocking out all the light to the kitchen. Shows a young woman in an A-line dark skirt and a soft cream blouse with her hair loose around her shoulders, and the first faint lines starting to come in around her eyes. In all her many lifetimes, Anthe never imagined she would reach her 20s. Now it's been 10 years. She's been free for 10 years. And she only gave up after 3. Anthe tells her shame that she was never meant to be a prince anyway, at which point there's a series of loud knocks on the front door. "Hello," says the delivery girl. Her bike is propped up against the high hedge. Her hair is growing in dark at the roots. "Delivery for Dr. Himemiya?" "Choo, Choo 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 choo, says Choo Choo, dancing around her feet. Hello, Anthy says faintly. Anthy Himemia? Says Utena. Yes, says Anthy. That's me, and passes out. When Anthy wakes up, Choo Choo is shrilling unhappily in her ear. I'm all right, Choo Choo, Anthy tells him. Choo Choo, comforted, proceeds to tell her off for fainting and frightening him. Hey, says Utena's voice. Don't shout at her like that, little fellow. She only just woke up. Anthy struggles to sit up. She's been carried to the couch in her living room. She briefly thanks her lucky stars that she remembered to furnish the interior of the house before she absorbed herself completely in the garden. And there's a blanket over her. On the table next to the couch is a glass of water. Utena is hovering by the table, looking worried. How are you feeling? She says. Don't get up, you might faint again. If you didn't wake up soon, I was going to call the hospital. I'm sorry, Anthy says. I don't know what came over me. You probably aren't eating properly, says Utena sagely. There's practically nothing in the cupboards but tea. You should take better care of yourself. Anthy stares at her, drinking in the sight. Utena is not quite as tall as she remembers. Her hair is long and bright pink and tied back in a high ponytail, but the roots are showing in a way they would never have dared to at picture-perfect Otori Academy. She's wearing denim shorts and a jacket with the delivery company logo on it, and there's a matching baseball tucked crumpled into one of her pockets. Her eyes are even brighter blue than they are in Anthy's memories. Anthy covers her mouth with her hand and giggles. Utena looks at her like she's mad. Shall I make you some food? She says. I've got my own groceries with me. I don't feel right leaving you here when you're fainting and there's nothing to eat. Choo, says Choo Choo enthusiastically, when Anthy doesn't answer. Is he telling me yes? Utena asks. Yes, Anthy says, regaining her poise. Yes, that would be very nice. Thank you. It's no problem, says Utena, vanishing through the doorway to the kitchen. Her voice echoes down the hall, calling, Eating's always better with company, anyway, I think. Anthy drops the blanket to the floor and reaches for the parcel Utena's left on the coffee table. It's very light. There's nothing inside but a packet of seeds. Anthy eyes them suspiciously, and then eyes them suspiciously in a slightly different way, but even to her magical sight, they remain just seeds. You like ramen, right? Shouts Utena from the kitchen. I have loads of noodles. It's weird, Dr. Himemia, says Utena through a mouthful of noodles. But I'm getting the most incredible sense of deja vu right now. Deja vu? Repeats Anthy. You know, says Utena and gestures with a spoon. Deja vu, like when you feel completely sure somehow that whatever you're doing, it's happened before, even if you can't think where or when. I get it a lot. That's how I feel right now. It's like I know you from somewhere. That's strange, Anthy says and takes another mouthful. It happens to me all the time, says Utena. Before I dropped out of college, I had. She hesitates, looking at Anthy sideways, and then goes on. I had this girlfriend, and the first time we met, it was like we'd known each other for years. Like we got all the introductions and getting to know you things out of the way ages ago, and could just go straight on with a good bit of being friends. What was her name? Says Anthy. Wakaba, says Utena. Anthy remembers Wakaba. Anyway, says Utena, that's sort of how I feel right now, like we've known each other before really well, so there's no need to worry about being polite or careful, because we already understand each other. Is that strange? Maybe I'm being really rude, and I don't realize it because I'm treating you like an old friend. Not at all, says Anthy carefully. In a way, I feel the same. Utena's grin is as bright as the sun. That's good, then. We can be friends without wasting time. I think we're going to be good friends, Doctor. I do too, says Xanthi. But please don't be so formal. Okay, says Utena with her mouth full. I'll call you Xanthi. Is that all right? And you can call me Utena or Tenjo or whatever you like, really. I don't mind. Xanthi remembers saying Miss Utena in cold, absolute seriousness. And the Utena she's been searching for, waiting for, regretting for these past 10 years isn't the woman sitting opposite her, who remembers nothing about princes and brides and seals and swords. I'll call you Tenjo, then, she says. It's a nice name. Okay, says Utena, and swallows with a big gulp. I ought to go now, but I'll come back and visit when I'm not on the clock, all right? I'd like that, says Xanthi, still a little disbelieving. 2. Utena is true to her word. She comes back 2 days later in the afternoon and rings Xanthi's doorbell. 2 days ago, Xanthi didn't have a doorbell, but Utena, of course, doesn't notice that. Xanthi's also made some changes inside her house. Nicer furnishing, food in the cupboards. Still no photographs anywhere, but Utena won't notice that either. Hello, says Utena. She's still wearing her delivery girl uniform, her bicycles propped against the hedge again. I was in the area and I'm all done for the day. I thought I'd drop in. Welcome, says Xanthi happily. Utena steps inside the door and looks around, slightly awed. Wow, your house is so nice. I didn't remember from before. I was too worried about you. Are you feeling better now? Much, thank you, Xanthi says. Would you like some tea? Yes, please, if it's no trouble, says Utena. It's no trouble, says Xanthi. She makes the tea. She smiles at the teapot. She takes down 2 cups. She smiles at the cups. It's strange, this effortless joy. She can't remember ever feeling anything like it. She pours out the tea and breathes in the rich rising scent, smiling. Wow, your garden is beautiful too, says Utena, poking her head around the kitchen door and immediately focusing on the view beyond the windows. Xanthi remembered to cut the creepers back. The wisteria is putting out delicate spires of purple blossoms around the kitchen door. You really like flowers, huh? Yes, says Xanthi. I'm a botanist, actually. So you're a doctor of flowers, says Utena. She sounds genuinely impressed. Is that what was in the package I brought you? Seeds? That's right, says Xanthi. What kind of flowers were they? I don't know, Xanthi says. I haven't planted them yet. I'd like to know, Utena says. It's lucky I had them, really, or I wouldn't have been here when you fainted. They must be lucky flowers. Her eyes keep drifting to the window, the wisteria. Can we drink tea in here? This is a nice room. It's the only room in the house Xanthi has ever really used. Of course, she says, feeling warm inside from head to toe. Utena lives in the nearest town. She shares an apartment with her boyfriend. The apartment is very small, but they can only just afford it. The boyfriend is a chef. Utena dropped out of college, but doesn't regret it. She likes her job. She says it gets her out and about, and she gets to meet lots of people. She's really only an ordinary girl. Xanthi sits opposite her through 3 pots of tea and drinks her in. Oh no, look at the time, Utena says when the sun is beginning to set. I better go. Cycling home in the dark is a pain. Xanthi is tempted for a second to force the clock back a couple of hours, but restrains herself. I hope you'll visit again, she says instead. Of course I will, says Utena. We're friends now, aren't we? Perhaps you can come visit me too. I don't go to town very much, Xanthi admits. I don't like crowds. Really? Well, that's okay then. I'll come here. I like to see your garden anyway. Will you show me the lucky seeds when they bloom? Of course, says Anthy. Shall I plant them now? They go out together through the kitchen door, under the arch of wisteria, which moves slightly as the creeper recognizes Anthy and leans affectionately towards her. It's too slight a shifting for Utena to spot it. Anthy lets her instincts guide her to a spot which will suit the seeds. She can always tell, somehow. Up against the wall of her tool shed, a pleasant, secret little spot, green and raggedy with a fence at the rear. There are cracked old pots stacked by the shed door, and the shed itself is peeling a little. Anthy could have made it freshly painted. She could have given it stained-glass windows if she felt like it. But somewhere inside she feels that a garden shed should always be a little old and a little plain. This isn't the prettiest bit, says Utena, wrinkling her nose at the smell of the compost heap just across the fence. No, says Anthy, but it's the most important. The seeds feel important. She goes to her knees in the dark, soft earth of the empty bed next to the shed. Why had she left it empty? Was it for this? And brushes the top layer aside. Utena watches her plant the lucky seeds as seriously as if it were a religious ceremony. It doesn't take long. There, Anthy says softly at last. The sun has set now, but the moon is rising. What will they be? Utena asks, just as softly. I don't know yet, Anthy says. We'll have to wait and see. That night, Anthy goes out in the dark and casts a spell under the light of the moon. She has one of Utena's long pink hairs twined around her fingers as she murmurs the words to herself. Chu, says Chu Chu, meaning it's not working. I know, Chu Chu, says Anthy eventually. Utena comes back to visit 3 days later. She never leaves more than 2 or 3 days between her visits, Anthy discovers. She still doesn't remember Anthy. 3. I don't know, Utena groans a few months later and flings herself backwards on the rug. The movement is fluid and graceful and spoiled by the wince at the end. Utena told Anthy that she had a pole vault accident in her middle school athletics championship, and that's why her spine can't handle her full range of movement when the weather is cold. Anthy knows better. She aches a little inside every time she sees Utena hesitate before she moves. You don't know what? She asks. Anthy, says Utena, I've been talking about my boyfriend for half an hour. Don't you listen? No, Anthy says and smiles. Utena laughs. You never even met him. You can't not like him. That's not fair. You're right. I've never met him, Anthy says. Ugh, says Utena. Anthy, I don't know if I should break up with him. Do you want to? Says Anthy. I just said I don't know. No, says Anthy. You said you don't know if you should. Utena glares at her and then relents, sighing. Well, I don't, she says. Maybe this is just a difficult time. All relationships have those, don't they? I feel like I ought to stick it out, and it'll be worth it in the end. I do love him. She looks up at Anthy beseechingly. Loving someone means you ought to stay with them, doesn't it? And then everything will be all right in the end. That's what the power of love is all about. Utena loves so easily, gives of herself so easily. Chu Chu has acquired a medium-sized spider from somewhere and is taking it for a walk along the coffee table on the lead made of plaited strands of pink hair. Anthy focuses on that and answers, I don't know much about the power of love, but. What is it? Says Utena, sitting up. Her pink hair with its dark roots is falling out of its ponytail. Her expression turns serious as she takes in Anthy's face. I think, says Anthy, and they're words she doesn't use often, so she pauses before she goes on. I think, she says at last, that everything in the world has its opposite. What do you mean? You hear a great many stories about the power of love, Anthe says, but not many people tell you about the power of leaving. It exists, though, all the same. It has to, if you think about it. Love is so wonderful, like saying yes with your whole heart to someone. But if it's impossible to say no instead, then yes becomes meaningless, even cruel. Choo-choo has given up on walkies and set his spider free. Choo, he says sadly, as he watches it scuttle away. Anthe looks back at Utena, who's staring at her with parted lips. She finds more words rising up inside her, true words, words she didn't know she had. The power of leaving is the dark, sad power that stands back to back with love, just like night stands back to back with day. It's very important to give it its place. Otherwise, love becomes poisoned. Utena licks her lips and says, That's the most I've ever heard you say at once. I'm sorry, says Anthe, looking away. No, don't! Utena reaches out a hand and then lets it drop. I think you must be very wise. Wise? Says Anthe. Witches are wise. She was called a wise woman once. Yes, says Utena firmly. You understand things other people don't. That's wise. Perhaps, says Anthe. And what you just said, that's important to you, isn't it? Very, says Anthe. The most important thing I ever learned. Utena hesitates and then says, Do you not believe in the power of love, then? Anthe opens her mouth and says, I do, more than anything. She stops, shocked at her own tongue. Utena pulls herself up to sit beside Anthe on the couch, runs a hand through her disheveled pink hair and says, Is there someone you love, Anthe? Anthe looks down at her hands in her lap. Yes, she says. A prince. Someone I met long ago. Huh, says Utena. What is it? Just, I felt like I knew you were going to say that, Utena says. She grins. They drink tea on the terrace next time. It's a lovely late spring day. As usual, Utena doesn't notice that Anthe never had a terrace before. I broke up with him, she says, almost as soon as she sits down. I'm sorry to hear that, Tenjo, says Anthe. It's empty, a platitude, a way to fill Utena's silence. Yeah, says Utena. The power of leaving. You were right, it's sad. She laughs awkwardly. Not very sad, though. No? No, Utena says. Maybe I didn't love him after all. The tea is warm and slightly bitter. Anthe drinks. Utena draws one knee up to her chest and looks out across the garden. When Anthe looks up, there's something blank and awful in Utena's eyes. Anthe stares, horrified. Sometimes I feel like the whole world is empty, says Utena. Just empty. Even this. She waves at the garden. I feel like it isn't there, not really. Really, there's only dust and sand and the sky going on forever and ever, an endless desert. And even though I meet people and I like them, they aren't real. Nothing's real, only the emptiness, only the desert. I try to love someone or care about someone, and I think I do. I think I'm doing it. But then it turns out that there's nothing. Just dust again. Me and the sand and the empty sky. And do you know what I mean? Anthe swallows hard. I'm sorry, Utena, she says. I'm so sorry. Why? It's not your fault, Utena says. And Anthe can't say, but it is, it is. Hey, You've never called me Utena before. Before Anthy can say anything, she dismisses it with a quick shake of her head. Listen, it's all right, really. It's only sometimes I think that, and when you're around, things are better. I'm glad we're friends, you know that. There's a hot, painful feeling in Anthy's eyes that she only identifies later as the desire to weep. 4. Why haven't they grown? Says Utena as they stare down at the dark earth of the flower bed. I don't know, Anthy says. She frowns down at the place where she planted the seeds. They aren't dead. She can feel them alive under the ground, but they haven't put out even the tiniest sprout yet. Anthy tries to give them a little push, but they resist so firmly that she gives up. They'll grow when they want to, she says. Let's go back. They walk back to the kitchen door together, side by side. Every once in a while, Utena's hand brushes against Anthy's, and it makes her shiver, just a little with memories. Shall I make the tea this time? Utena says as they pass the threshold. It's my turn. All right, says Anthy, and sits down to wait. Choo-choo hops onto her shoulder, whispers in her ear about slugs in the vegetable patch, and informs her that he wants some tea, too. Anthy absent-mindedly produces a tiny cup for him out of nothing. It's sheer luck, she realizes a second later, that Utena was looking the other way. Hey, Anthy, says Utena as she pours the tea. I've been thinking. Why don't you ever talk about yourself? It's weird. I tell you all about me, and I don't know anything about you. I feel bad using up all your time selfishly like this. Anthy takes a sip of her tea. You're not selfish, she says. What is there to say about me? I'm a botanist. I live alone. I've a friend I drink tea with sometimes. Your life is much more interesting. Utena makes a frustrated gesture. That's not what I mean at all. Why don't you talk about you? Where did you come from? How did you get here? I kissed a handsome prince, Anthy thinks, and I finally woke up and realized I hated him. I unbound my hair and found I had a rope long enough to climb down from the tower. The glass slippers broke, and suddenly I could run. It's a long story, she says primly, and sips her tea. Choo, says Choo-choo, meaning coward. I want to know, says Utena, looking at Anthy under her lashes. Back me up, Choo-choo. Tell Anthy it's her turn to talk. She holds out a sugar cube to the little demon. Choo-choo treacherously takes it and chitters firmly at Anthy before settling down on top of the teapot to savor his treat. Utena laughs and catches Anthy's eye. Anthy finds her heart painfully full, as it always is when Utena starts to flirt. She unfocuses her gaze and wonders idly how Choo-choo looks to Utena. Most people think he's a mouse. A few recognize a monkey. She thinks Utena might be one of those who can see his true form. Both and neither, an ancient little nature spirit keeping odd company. Choo, says Choo-choo again, this time meaning, now you're deflecting. Anthy sends a swift flick of irritation in his mental direction. He nibbles smugly on his sugar cube. Anthy, says Utena. Anthy sets down her teacup with a little clink, looks down at her reflection rippling slightly, and doesn't hesitate. I don't remember my parents, she says. My brother brought me up. He was very rich and the headmaster of my school. When I was little, he was good to me, but when I got older, he changed. He hurt me and raped me. I loved him so much I thought it must be my fault how he had changed, and I let him do anything he wanted. Eventually, I made one friend at the school. At first, she didn't know what was happening to me, but when she found out, she was angry and wanted to help me. I didn't believe that what she said was possible, but she didn't give up. Then my brother arranged a terrible accident for her, and I never saw her again. That was what gave me the strength to run away. I left that same week to look for her, and eventually ended up here. She stops. She picks up her teacup and drinks some more tea. In the absolute silence of the kitchen, Utena whispers, "Anthy." Anthy looks up, feeling quite calm and empty inside. Utena's blue eyes are wet with tears. "What is it?" Anthy says. Utena sets her jaw, though the tears are brimming over. "I'd like to find your brother and—" Anthy smiles. "I don't think there's anything you could do to him worse than what I did when I left him," she says. "I was his reason for living. Everything he did because he loved me." "Chew," Chew-Chew points out. "Quite right," Anthy admits and corrects herself. "And hated me. Because he loved me and hated me." Utena swipes the back of her hand across her eyes, blinks hard and does it again. Anthy is quite fascinated. She has never wept. It has never occurred to her that what happened was worth crying over. "I'm so sorry," Utena says. "Anthy, I'm so sorry that happened to you. I'm... how long?" "Centuries," Anthy thinks. "From when I turned 13, she says. "I'm so sorry," Utena repeats, and she is. Anthy can feel the tempered steel of her sorrow and rage from across the table. She could reach out and draw a sword of vengeance from Utena's heart right now. But that way, madness lies. "The girl," Utena is saying. Anthy flicks her eyes up from Utena's breast, pulled back to reality. "I'm sorry," she says. "Your friend," says Utena, "the one who had the accident. Did you ever find her?" Anthy shrugs. "You must have really loved her," Utena says, with a strained note in her voice. "No," says Anthy, "I didn't." "No," Utena echoes. "I couldn't, you see," says Anthy calmly. "In those days, I couldn't imagine loving anyone but my brother." Her teacup is empty. She puts it down. "I think if I found her again, I'd be in love with her now." She goes on, looking Utena in the eye. "She wanted to be my prince all along, you see. And she was my prince in the end." "The prince you love," Utena says and swallows. "I hope you find her then, Anthy." "Call me Himimiya," Anthy thinks. "Just once, please." "I hope so too," she says. "Chew," says Chew-Chew sympathetically. 5. Utena takes Anthy to town to go shopping. Anthy has never been shopping in her life. When she wants things, they appear. But Utena needs groceries and thinks Anthy must be running out too, so here they are on the high street. Anthy pulls her jacket tight around her shoulders and tries not to worry too much about how many people there are. "What?" she says, when she realizes Utena said something and she missed it. "I've been thinking about your friend," Utena says, "the girl who helped you escape." "Yes," says Anthy. Utena's expression is stubborn. This does not bode well. "I think I should help you look for her," Utena says. "I think you ought to find her. No, I think you deserve to find her. You deserve everything good. So any true friend would help you look, and we're friends, right?" She goes on more confidently. Two heads are definitely better than one. "I already looked for her," says Anthy. "For a long time. All over the world." "Oh," says Utena, deflating slightly, but she recovers fast. "But did you try looking on the internet? Everything's on the internet these days. It's worth a try, right?" Machines don't make much sense to Anthy. She tells Utena so. "That's okay," Utena says. "I'm good with computers. I can help you. I want you to find her. The power of love will help. You'll see." "The power of love," echoes Anthy softly. Utena gives her a wide, heartbreaking smile and says, "You said you believed, didn't you? You shouldn't give up. You have to find her. Aren't princes supposed to find you? Anthy says. I think that's a silly, old-fashioned attitude to have, and it isn't going to get you anywhere, says Utena, putting her arm over Anthy's shoulders and steering her towards the electronics shop. Princesses can go on quests, too. Or, if they can't, people should take it in turns to be princes. Perhaps you're right, Anthy says. Of course I'm right, says Utena. Inside the shop is cool and shiny. Anthy has never been one for metal and made things. Those were always her brother's domain. Of course, Utena can do it too, she thinks, watching Utena argue with a clerk over arcane technological details. She is, after all, a prince. Anthy smiles to herself and waits patiently. Utena gets pink in the face with excitement, and there are cheerful crinkles around her eyes. There is no trace of the desert in her that Anthy can see. They emerge with something called a mac, which Utena has thoughtfully selected in the same shade as Anthy's hair. It's really simple, Utena says. I'll set it up for you, and I'll show you how to do everything. She stops. Where do you want it? My bedroom is upstairs on the left, Anthy says. There's a desk. Shall I make some tea? Sure, that would be great, calls Utena, already halfway up the stairs with a big square box. Chew. Choo-choo comments when Anthy comes into the kitchen. We are having a nice time, Choo-choo, Anthy says. Choo-choo. Anthy ignores him with great dignity. She takes the teacup on a wooden tray, two porcelain cups and a pale green teapot. By the time she gets to the top of the stairs, the teapot is blue and the cups are decorated with a pattern of forget-me-nots. Anthy hasn't put out any thoughtless outbursts of unconscious magic like that since Otori. She smiles ruefully at herself. So Choo-choo is right, perhaps, and she's not quite happy. It's an unhappiness she's pushing away, ignoring, in a way she knows is a little dangerous, but it's Utena. Hey, it's hot up here, Utena is saying as Anthy comes into the room. Anthy stops in the doorway and puts her head on one side. Utena has taken off her jacket and her t-shirt and is under the table fiddling with wires and just shorts and a bra. How do you sleep like this? Utena says, sliding out and sitting up. There's the usual slight wince when she stretches. Anthy observes it, the way her body curves around the movement. Sorry, I'm all, says Utena self-consciously. Anthy perhaps shouldn't stare so pointedly. She likes the way Utena flushes and smiles, though. She knows Utena wants her to look, that Utena's flirting is haphazard and half-conscious, but not entirely innocent. She turns away and sets down the tea. You're right. It is hot, she says, and pulls her dress off over her head in one smooth movement. Anthy, says Utena, eyes wide. What is it? Says Anthy, tucking her hair behind her ear. She's wearing a slip still. It takes actual effort not to let her mouth twitch. Utena is blushing. There's a moment's silence, then, Stop laughing at me, Utena says petulantly. It was hot. I'm not laughing at you, Anthy says. Oh, yes, you are, says Utena. You're laughing with your eyes. I can always tell. Can you? Mostly, admits Utena. Your eyes say things, but I can't always be sure what they're saying. It's often laughing, but sometimes I think it might be sad. You must be very observant, Tenjo, says Anthy. Oh, stop it, says Utena, disgusted. Come and look at this. Anthy crawls under the desk with Utena, and they crouch elbow to elbow while Utena points at things Anthy barely registers and certainly doesn't remember. Utena doesn't bother putting her shirt back on. It's lovely. It's something like enough. 6. Did the computer help? Says Utena out of nowhere a few weeks later. Sorry? Says Anthy. No, I mean, your prints, finding your prints. Did the computer help at all? Anthy hasn't even switched it on. Not really, she says. Oh, says Utena, downcast. I'm sorry. I really wanted it to help. She bites her lip. There must be some way you. Maybe you could get a detective or go to the police even, or. I really mean it. I really do. I want you to find her. Don't worry about it, Anthy says. I do, Utena says. I can't help it. I worry about you. I think about you often. Anthy takes a sip of her tea. All the time, really, says Utena distantly. She's looking through Anthy, not at her. Anthy can see the desert in her eyes. Come back, she says softly. Utena jumps in her seat, only just stops her tea from clattering off the table, and laughs a little. How is it you always know? She asks. You're like magic. Anthy picks up her teacup and hides her smile in another sip. You shouldn't worry about me, she says. In a way, it's enough just to know she's out there, existing in the world. I'm all right. But you're alone, says Utena. Well, I mean, there's Choo Choo, but you're so. I mean, you're Anthy. You deserve better. You shouldn't be all alone. We're friends, aren't we? Anthy says. I'm not alone at all. We're friends, Utena echoes, and then squares her shoulders. Look, Anthy. Yes? I think. I'd like. Maybe. Utena splutters to a halt in face of Anthy's questioning gaze. She flushes and looks away. I don't know how to say this, she says. I really like you. Anthy has heard those words many times in many voices from duelist after duelist after doomed romancing duelist. Hearing Utena say them makes her heart skip a beat. I like you more than I've ever liked anyone. I wanted to say that, and I think maybe, says Utena miserably, if we can't find your prince, maybe you could consider me. She hides her face with her hands. Oh, this is stupid. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said anything. Forget it, please. Anthy puts down her teacup. She stands up and walks around the table. She takes Utena's hands in hers and pulls them away from her face. She leans down and kisses Utena's shocked, opening mouth. Oh, says Utena when Anthy stops kissing her. Oh. She stands up and wraps her arms around Anthy, and Anthy puts her hands in Utena's pink hair and stands on tiptoe and kisses her again. Anthy, Utena says. Come to bed, says Anthy, to this woman who is so very nearly her prince, her Utena, who is as close to right as anyone can possibly be. Come to bed with me. Yes, says Utena, and Anthy takes her by the hand. Utena looks younger asleep, not quite as young as she looked when they'd shared a room in school. But not 25 either. Her pink hair is spread out across the white pillow. Her long limbs are sprawled in every direction. She is taking up considerably more than half the bed. Anthy really doesn't mind. She's never going to find a way to bring Utena's memories back, Anthy thinks. They're gone forever. And Anthy will never tell her the whole truth. Will never be able to. Perhaps this is the best she'll get. This sweet, normal version of Utena, a kind of normal life. Perhaps this is the best she could ever get. It's certainly better than believing Utena dead. It's much better. It's a good thing that Anthea is so used to resigning herself to situations, otherwise, she might find this difficult when really she's lucky even to have this much. She doesn't deserve everything. No one deserves everything. Deep in her mind, a voice that sounds a little like Utena, and a little like Dios from 1,000 years ago, and perhaps a little like her own, as well, says, "Yes, you do. You deserve everything good." This is good, Anthy tells herself, and the voice of the prince in her heart answers, protests, cries out, "But it's not right." She finds she's crying. She's never cried. She can't think of the last time she cried, truly cried, over anything. It's awful. It's horrible. Her eyes get sore and her head starts to hurt and her nose is blocked. And though she clamps her mouth shut, a strange choke noise, the ghost of a sob, still escapes her. She can't wake Utena. Utena would want to know what was wrong and would never, never understand. Anthy holds herself as still as she can and tries to force back the tears with sheer willpower. She fails. They pour down her cheeks and drip off the end of her nose. One lands right between Utena's eyes, and Utena stirs. Anthy tries to pull away and finds that Utena's arms have come around her. She can't stop the tears now. They keep coming. Utena pulls her close and Anthy hides her damp face in the soft curve of her neck and cries against her throat. "Himemia," says Utena. Her voice sleep soft and worried. "What's wrong?" Anthy shakes her head, still crying. "Himemia," Utena repeats, pulling away and trying to get a good look at her face. "Hime..." She stops, short, just as Anthy suddenly hears what she's been saying, and freezes too. "Himemia," Utena repeats, wonderingly, staring at her. Anthy can just make out the look on her face in the darkened room. "It's you." "Utena?" says Anthy, choked and disbelieving. Utena rolls over and presses her down into the pillows with a strong, certain kiss. 6. They barely sleep. "I knew you," Utena says over and over. "I knew you. I had a photo of us in my bedroom for years and years, but I still couldn't see." "Magic," says Anthy. "It works like that. I looked for so long and I thought I'd never find you." "But you did," says Utena. "You found me in the desert." Anthy can't answer because she's being enthusiastically kissed. Eventually, Utena comes up for air, and Anthy kisses her cheek and chin and nose, and Utena says, "What happened?" "I'm not sure," says Anthy. "After the revolution, once you stopped being a car..."
"I was a car?"
Utena's expression is dubious. Anthy nods. "Is this a metaphorical magic thing?" "No," says Anthy. "Well, yes, but you also turned into a car."
"I don't remember that bit at all," says Utena. "Okay, what happened then?"
"I don't know," says Anthy. "You vanished. I looked for you everywhere, but..."
"How did you find me?"
"I didn't," Anthy says. "When you turned up with that delivery, I was so shocked."
"You fainted?"
"It was you," Anthy says, "and it wasn't."
"It's me now," Utena says.
Anthy has to kiss her for that, and one kiss becomes another, becomes 100. They lie curled together till sunrise. 7. The seeds Utena delivered months ago still hadn't sprouted last night, but by morning they've bloomed.
"Well, this is a little suspicious. Who sent them?"
Utena says, looking down at the roses. Anthy shakes her head. "There was never a name." Utena licks her lips. "Do you think it was..." They give each other a long look. Anthy looks away first. "Dios has been gone for a very long time," she says flatly.
"I've been thinking about that," says Utena. Someone came to me when I was small, my parents died. Someone gave me the rose seal and inspired me to be a prince. Someone sent me to find you. I think maybe the spirit of Dios is never really gone, as long as there's strength and nobility in the world. Anthony kneels and touches the soft rose petals. They're the old-fashioned single kind, pale and sweet-smelling, nothing like the overblown hothouse flowers she once cultivated. Utena crouches down beside her and puts her hand in Anthy's long loose hair. And Anthy thinks perhaps she won't mind having these roses in her garden. The end. If you've enjoyed this story, please leave feedback to the author. You can do that at a link to the text through this Podfix post. Thank you for listening. And happy ITPE, Revolutionary Joe!